Good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. And we just pray that that God would just touch your heart and touch your life this morning. You know, one touch from God can change everything. One touch from God can change everything. Amen, amen. Well, we do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. And the tithe and offerings to the church last week was $617, and we want to thank you for being faithful in giving. And we pray the blessings of God upon you. And Lord, I pray that you touch every family, Lord God. Father, touch the families. Lord God, you see how they've given sacrificially unto you, Lord God, because they want to be obedient. But Father, I pray the blessings, your blessings, Lord God, in their homes, upon their jobs, in their families, Lord God, that you would touch them. And Lord God, bring it back unto them. Multiply it back unto their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Children's church leaders and workers and the kids, you may go. Amen. Father, bless these kids and workers, Lord God. Help them to understand your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Amen, amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. Blessed by God. I tell you. Never put your eye on the problem. Never. Never. You may glance at it every once in a while. Never put your eyes or gaze on the problem. Never. Never. No matter what it is. If it's financial, if it's something domestically in the home, whatever it may be, whatever it may be, never put your eye on the problem. Always put your eye on the God that can solve the problem. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's not easy. I know. But you know what? We need to train ourselves and ask in the Holy Spirit to help us to always keep our eyes on who God is and what He can do through all the situations and through all the problems. But we do want to welcome everyone here, and we just pray that something we say or do will touch your heart and touch your life this morning. Amen. Well, last week, anybody remember what we taught on last week? What we talked about last week? Well, let me remind you. We talked about the coming of the Lord, and we tried to distinguish the difference between the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, and the difference between the second coming of God, and the differences in scriptures and the differences in the Word of God. And so we're gonna not look at that, but look on the same vein or same line of some things. In Revelation chapter 4, before we read, let's take our Bible, say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I tell you, that's life. That's life that you're holding in your hand. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 3, not 4. I'm sorry. Remember we talked about the coming of the Lord, and we talked about the seven the churches, and we talked about how the last church that we talked about, the Laodicean church, is the progression of time from the starting of the church age in Acts, basically the starting of the New Testament church, till now, and how from the first church that he talked about, the second, third, fourth, fifth, is the progression of time till today. till today. And we're looking at in Revelation chapter 3, the last church is a reflection of where the church, the body of Christ itself, is today and where it is. And so let's read it again. I know last week we read it, but I want to read it again. In verse 14 of chapter 3, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold, and I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Now, we may not want to hear these things, and I honestly don't want to hear it. Because you see, God is saying that we need to be hot before Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be on fire every day, but we need to strive to serve God with everything within us and let the Spirit of God move in us. Because, verse 17, you say, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." And we talked about that maybe last week a little bit, how the church is very rich today compared to what it's ever been. We have more money, more possessions, more things than ever before. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, now today, I mean, we're even, you know, some churches are making movies and all this stuff. And I personally don't see anything wrong with it, whatever, you know, if it touches people's lives and brings them closer to the Lord. But yet, increase with goods and have need of nothing. And that's the problem. We need everything. Even though we might have possessions of things and increase with possessions, how much more now do we need the Spirit of God within our hearts, within our lives, within our churches? "And knowest not that you are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked." Ooh, how we see ourselves sometimes and how God sees us is sometimes a little different. "I counsel you to buy of me gold tried and far, that you may be rich," buying from him, "white raiment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve." That means we were blind. We need God to heal our eyes, "that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Therefore, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Verse 20, "And to him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Now this is verse 22. Now at the end of every church that he writes to, he writes the same thing over and over and over again. You can see in your bulletin, in the first part of it, we put that scripture for us as a church. "He who has ear and ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Verse 22, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit," talking about the Holy Spirit, "says unto the church." Now, that means at the end of each age of the church, God is speaking by His Spirit to the church. You might say, well, what is He saying? Whatever He wants to say. Whatever the Spirit of God knows that we have need of, He's speaking to the church. And I took that scripture, and we talked about how the Lord is speaking to us last week, to the church as a whole, or even just our local church here, that He is coming soon. That the Spirit of God is about to, or Jesus is about to come and split the eastern skies and come for His church. It's going to happen soon. And I know we've been hearing about it for, seems like a long time. But we also need to remember that God is never slack on His Word. When He says something, it is truth and it will come about. It is truth and it will come about. Today, I know I'm going to be talking about how we need to praise God for who He is. We need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. The Spirit of God is saying to this church, we need to praise Him, people. He deserves our praise. for all that He has done. You might say, to praise Him. Yes, to praise Him. You might say, well, don't we praise Him with all of our hearts? I hope we do, you know. I hope we do. But we need to continue to lift our hands in worship and honor unto Him. You know, why do we come together? God has presented and placed in every area the local church to come together to gain strength from one another, but yet for one purpose, to praise Him and to honor Him for who He is. And yet the benefits of all that is that we get to build great relationships with people. The benefit of all that stuff is that we get to feel the presence of God. The benefit of that is that the Lord comes in and touches our hearts and takes those things that are weighing us down. But yet God says it's not an option. It's not an option if I want to praise Him or not. That's not an option for me personally. We often think, well, it's what do I want to do? No, it's not what we want to do. The option is not for us to say, well, should I praise Him or not? The option is always, I have to praise Him and give Him the honor that He so deserves. We were made for the pleasure of our God. We were made to please Him. We were made to honor Him. We were made to come together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today, that He is looking for a church that will lift Him up, that will praise Him, that will honor Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I know, hey, look, I'm not the most outburst person as far as hollering. I just don't, you know. But one thing I know is this. I get excited about my God because I know where I would be and it wouldn't be here. How much more should we get excited about the things of God? About praising Him, about honoring Him. In Scripture it says, let everything, come on now, we need to get this. Let everything that has breath, that means everything that is alive, everything that has something on the inside of them, a life inside of them, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. It wasn't an option saying, if you feel like it, praise me. It's not like, well, you know, if I feel like I want to do it, I'll do it. No, no, no. He says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God is looking for people that will praise Him no matter what, no matter how they feel, no matter what they're going through. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I work just like you. Live life just like you. I know it's hard at times. And the devil will come with attacks and things. And it's hard because we're thinking, we're in church, but we're thinking about all the things that have gone on. I know that. I know that. But you see, as a person, a child of the living God, that we make it a point that as we come together, and I have to use this as coming together, that we make it a point that we will worship Him and we will lay all those things aside as we come through those doors. That we will lay those worries aside. That we will lay those things that are easily besetting us. We will lay those things aside and we will walk through that door and say, Lord, I'm here to worship You. You see, we often think of church as a time where God has to do things for me. Now, in one aspect, that's not wrong. In one aspect. Because you see, God says, come together, and he meets the needs of the house. He brings healing. He brings deliverance. He brings help. But yet the other aspect of it is that we come together for him. That we come together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he gets all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Now, that's all introduction. Go on. Y'all ready to go home? No, it's not time. It's not time. Y'all behave now. Y'all behave. There's nothing wrong with getting excited about things. But the most exciting thing needs to be about our God. I want you to turn to Psalms 146. Psalms 146. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Now, everybody has an ear, and we want to hear what God is saying. During the week, and I knew what I was going to be preaching on since early. Sometimes I know, sometimes I don't. It's like, Lord, help me. Lord, I can't just get up there and whatever you want, you know. And I knew it was going to be on praise to our God. And I said, Lord, thank you. And honestly, this week I had to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for lackadaisically not praising you like I should. Lord, forgive me. I mean, it just touched my heart. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I would walk into a place like this. Where I know I've often said, Lord, you're welcome. And I truly mean you're welcome in this place. You are truly welcome. And I don't give you the verbal praise that is due unto you. That I just sit there sometimes like, whatever, Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with sitting. I don't want anybody to get, because I know sometimes we may have to sit because song service, whatever physical need sometimes. I know, I understand that. But people, we need to really get to a place where we come to worship the King of Kings. But this week, you know, I was knew what I was teaching on and looking up scriptures and looking up things and saying, Lord, help me. And Jelaine turned, she said, there's something I want to show you. I got back from work. I said, oh, okay. And, you know, she showed me something on the computer. And I said, Lord. She said, just watch this. It's only a few minutes, 3-4 minutes maybe. And so watched it and I thought, oh, God. Oh, God. And you might say, well, what was it? It was a worship service. It grieved my spirit so bad, all I wanted to do was cry. Because you see, I knew who was getting the praise and the glory, and it wasn't God. It was sad. Just watched it. And somebody filmed it because they were filming it because they were proud of what was, whatever, you know, whatever, whatever was going on, whatever. And I thought, this is like a concert. The light beaming down, you know, and all on stage and everything else is off. I mean, this is just a church service, but it's like a concert. Now, there's nothing wrong. Hey, there's nothing wrong with certain things. But you see, I'm telling you, we need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And he's tired of other people getting his glory. And buddy, and you can sniff it out. You know it. You can sniff it. You can see it. And we need to realize that everything that we do affects the church, affects God, you know, in a certain way. And that he wants the glory. He wants the praise. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I know y'all don't have a song leader. And hey, there's nothing wrong with song leaders. When God wants to give us one, we'll get one. You know, hey, and in the meantime, we're going to praise Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We were somewhere, and people will ask us about the church, and, you know, we tell them what's going on, you know, and whatever, you know. And they said, y'all have a song leader yet? No. Well, maybe one day y'all might get one. I said, yeah, maybe one day. And a few of us were there, and they said, it wasn't me, somebody else from our church said, you know, we know this on a Sunday morning, he gets the praise. And no one else. And I thought, my God, look at this. Well, they shut up so quick, there was no response. I'm not saying song leaders bad. So hey, look, I love them, but I tell you what, we got to really be careful. And I tell you, we need to remember that praise goes to Him and Him only, and that He is the one that gets it. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And you know what? We, as an individual person, you need to protect your praise towards your God. Don't let others steal from it. Don't let others take from it. That when we come together, people, and I guess I can't say this enough, when we come together, I know we're corporately together, but we're individuals also. We're individuals. And the praise that is in you goes to Him. When you lift your hands to Him, He is the one that gets it. When you sing the words of songs, that it's only for Him. That if you decide to kneel before Him or even sit or come kneel here, whatever, that it's Him that is getting the praise and the worship. Only Him. That He doesn't have to worry about being divided and having a divided heart within the people. That no one else gets it but Him. And we need to keep that spirit. And you know, honestly, we've had some people leave because we have no worship leader. I'll be honest with you. I know that. I know it. You know. And you know, hey, I'm sure not going to stop anybody from going wherever they want to go. You know. But I know this. That if they want to come here, I'm not going to conjure you up. I'm not going to try to hype you up. You don't know how much faith it takes for us to stand here, my wife and I, and say, Lord, we trust You as we're looking at the words and praising Him. Lord, touch the people. Touch the people. Lord, touch the people. Touch the people. Touch the people. Now, God will speak some things to my heart and mind, and yes, and I'll share it and do it and whatever God wants to do. But it takes faith to believe God, that as we look into Him, that He's in the back of us moving upon the people. You know, and we've seen God move in tremendous ways within the hearts of the people, encouraging you. And I know there are many things that God has done that you haven't even shared with us. But you know what? We give Him the praise, we give Him the glory, and we give Him the honor. And we need to always remember to trust our God. Never trust, and I hate to say, our trust always needs to be in Him, in Him alone, and not in an organization or a person or a people. Always in Him. Always in Him. Always in Him. Praise is to express approval unto God. Praise expresses approval unto Him. When you're saying, Lord, I worship You. Father, I praise you. It's an expression of approval. It's like you just saying, Lord, whatever you want to do. And the Spirit of God, it quickens the ear of our God. And He comes in by the Spirit of God and touches people. We express our approval and thankfulness and respect for Almighty God by offering praise and glory and honor unto Him. Praise to God is reverent, is cheerful, is boastful, adoration in response to His revelation. My God, let me say it again. Praise to God is reverent, cheerful, and boastful adoration in response to His revelations. My God. Praising God. Ask Him to point your affection completely towards Him in all that we do. In Psalms 100, verse 4, it says this, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His holy name. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise." With praise. Psalms 146. Did I read that verse 1 and 2? Verse 4. Psalms 140. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes and I'm thinking, I don't remember reading that. I'm sorry, y'all. Psalms 146. It says this, verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. Now, let me stop there. He didn't say, people, if you feel like it, praise me. People, if you want to, praise me. He's saying, praise you, the Lord. And honestly, with all the things that God has done for us, if everything is stopped today with the blessings of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God upon our life, if it stopped today and nothing else, we should praise Him with everything within us to the day we die, no matter if God does nothing else for us. Because how much can we praise a God that has liberated us from sin? How much can we praise a God that has given us victory in our hearts and in our lives? How much can we praise a God that has given us the jobs that we have to make the money that we have? That we can bless His church and bless people beyond measure. How much can we praise a God that will give everything to us, including His Son? How much can we praise a God that will give us everything and not hold anything back from His people? We should be jumping up and down because of what He's done in us. How dare we hold back? Now, there are quiet times, I know even myself with God, where it's like just quiet. But I tell you what, there are times where we need to be a little boastful. You'll curl up on the inside, some of you, if you only shout a little bit. Because I know even for myself, it's like, oh Lord, okay. Lord, I worship. And it's like I just trying to, okay Lord, because I know the Scripture says, praise Him. Praise Him. It says this, praise you the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God while I have any being. Singing praises unto Him because He deserves it. Singing praise unto our God, because He deserves it. It's not like some little peon God that has absolutely done nothing. That's like you read in scriptures, talks about Dagon, the god Dagon. And you remember how they brought the Philistines, it was in the Philistines. I'm trying to remember that. I don't have it in my stuff, so I'm trying to remember this stuff. The Dagon, it was the Philistine god they had made. This big statue of him. And remember how they had gotten the Ark of the Covenant? You know, that had, you know, the jar of manna, Aaron's rod, and the Ten Commandments, you know, tablets of stone. And how that's where the presence of God was. And the Philistines had gotten it from the Israelites. And how they brought it. And they brought it next to their god, Dagon. And the next morning they got up and the head was chopped off and had bowed itself. The head of the statue was down, cut off, down and at the foot of the Ark of the Covenant. And so, man, they hurried up. They took it back. They put it up there. They put some super glue. They put it back. Yeah. Because they didn't want anybody to see it, because their god is not lower than the god of the Israelites. And it says that the next day, Lord, this is funny. The next day, the hands were cut off, the feet were cut off, and was before the Ark of the Covenant. There's no God like your God. We've all seen the hand of God move so mightily within each and every one of our lives. How dare we hold back the praise and the glory and the honor that He so deserves, people? How dare we even hold back a little bit because maybe of our pride and a little bit of... But I'm saying, look, just to giving Him the worship and the honor and the songs and the worship and the praise and the glory that He so deserves. Everything that has breath should praise the Lord. Everything. Everything. The book of Psalms is the praise book of the Bible. Can you imagine? We're the only major religion, if you want to put Christianity in a religion category. It's a relationship. Is the only one that has a praise book. Because He's the only one that deserves praise. The only one. The only one. The only one. The book of Psalms, like I said earlier, is the praise book of the Bible. It gives us hundreds of reasons why praise is important, as well as examples of how to give praise unto God. It says in Psalms 92 verse 1, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High." Psalms 147 verse 1 says, "Praise is a good thing, men is valuable," but this is the scripture. It tells us that praise is beautiful and agreeable. Can you imagine? It's beautiful in the sight of God. We have to get to a place where we don't hold back so much. And I know we can get in our little comfort zone and we can just stay there and but you know, it kind of break forth a little bit. Start raising your hands a little bit more. Start verbally giving Him the praise. You might say, "Well, I'm not loud." That doesn't mean you have to be all boastful. But yet, "Lord Jesus, I love You. You're magnificent, Father. We give You praise. We give You honor, Lord God. We give You glory. The great God Jehovah. Lord, You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be honored. You're worthy to be glorified." And let me tell you, old Slewfoot will try to get everything in the book to disturb God's people from praising God. He will do everything in the book. You see, if old Slewfoot can stop God's church from praising God, in effect, he's won. If Slewfoot, the devil, can stop God's church from giving praise to God and the glory and the honor that He so deserves, in effect, he's won some of the battle. Because you see, what did the devil want? To be higher than God. He wanted praise to go to him. You might say, "Well, that's awful. Man does the same thing." And it is awful. It is awful. It is awful. And so what the devil tries to do is, if he can turn our attention from why we're here to worship God and to praise Him. Now, you mean, if He can turn our attention from the God that saved us and not give Him the praise and glory and honor that He so deserves, in effect, He's won in certain areas. Because He's turned our affection and our attention away from the God that deserves it. And so what he likes to do is for God not to get the praise. You ever thought of that way? The devil does not want God, does not want Jesus, does not want the Holy Spirit to get the praise from His creation. So if he can stop it in any effect or any way, he's excited. He may not get it. I mean, who would? I mean, none of us in here would say, you know, praise you, Satan. I mean, you know, that's just not. No, we want to destroy him. I mean, we hate him because of what he's done. So he knows that. So what he does is he lulls the church to asleep, saying, I know I won't get it, but I don't want him to get it either. And so he distracts the church. He distracts the people that acknowledge God as their Savior, distracting them that they don't give the praise to Him. So what we got to do is say, none of that anymore. None of that anymore. That when I walk into those doors, I'm going to leave those things that are bothering me. Not that I won't deal with them. That's not it. But to leave them outside and walk in and say, Lord, I'm here for one purpose. Now, I'm going to get all kind of benefits from that one purpose. But I'm here to worship you. And as music starts to play, that we lift our hands and sing unto our God. You might feel an unction of the Holy Ghost. I know some of you have felt, I need to kneel, and you didn't do it. Why not? Just do it. Just do it. Some of you have felt something in your heart to come and kneel before God right here, and you resisted. Do it next time. Let God get the praise and the glory that He so deserves from you. When we consider the reasons why we should praise God, we find a list of His attributes. Number one, now I know, Andrew, I know you don't have these scriptures because we had so many scriptures. He is full of glory. That's found in Psalms 138, verse 5. He is great. Psalms 145:3. He is wise and powerful. That's found in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. He is good. Psalms 107:8. He is merciful and faithful. Psalms 89:1. He is the one who saves us. Psalms 18:46. He keeps His promises. 1 Kings 8:56. He pardons sins. Sin. Psalms 103, verse 1 to 3. And He gives us our daily food. Psalms 136, 25. In Psalms, and I want you to turn to this. 148, starting with verse 1. Tells us that all of creation is commanded to give praise to God. 148. Look at verse 1. It says, praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise you Him, all His angels. Praise you Him, all His host. Praise you Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, they and they were created. He, excuse me. He has also established them forever and ever. Let me stop right here, just for a minute. He has established all things on the earth forever. Global warming won't happen, because God has established all seasons to eternity. Y'all know that ship that got this was funny. You know that ship that got was up north and was stuck in ice? They never really said that some of them were global warmingists and that they were going up there to check things out, and they got stuck in frozen ice. They got stuck in frozen ice for, what, a week or so? No, I think they finally were rescued. But I said, oh God, you're so good to us. And what they're trying to do is say that everything, you know, that everything is going to warm up and it's going to be destroyed. And, you know, God is in control of everything, people. Spending our money that does not make sense on things that are horrible, you know. The four seasons will last forever. God has established it. It's been set. It's been done. Can you imagine stuck in ice? Oh, man, that God is so good to us. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6, let me get back on subject. He has established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons in all deeps. Fire and hail, snow, vapors, stormy winds, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Stop right there. So God has created all things and has commanded all things to praise Him. When Jesus was entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we call it, great crowds gathered and offered Him their praise. The Pharisees wanted Him to rebuke the people, but Jesus answered, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. That's found in Luke 19:40. Though there are many people who choose not to praise God right now, there is coming a day in which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the praises of God, the praises of our God. We need to do everything we can, people, to praise Him. I know some people praise God. I mean, some people just do this. Nothing wrong with any of it. Some people I can hear from back here. I know they sitting way back. I can hear them. And that's okay. Some people sitting right next to me, I can't hear them. But I know they're singing. Let's step it up a little bit more. A little bit. Sometimes God may want us to get out of our little comfort zone a little bit. Give Him the praise that He so deserves, people, from His creation. He can't expect it from anyone else except His people. But it says in Psalms 146, praise thee the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praising is a vital part of life surrendered to God, and it gives credit where credit is due. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Psalms 107, verse 8. Most Christians believe praising God and being thankful is good. However, many think it is optional, and that's not true. Not true. Not true. Some Christians only praise God when their circumstances are good and they have a reason to thank Him. The truth is that praising God is not an option. Praise has a powerful effect on the believer, the devil, and on God. Now let me tell you this. I know it's hard sometimes. If you lost your job during the week and you walk in, I know it's hard. Huh? It's hard. That's probably why God talks about a sacrifice of praise. I know walking in and during the week, you've had battles with your children or with your spouse, or just horrible things happen at work, or just horrible things are happening outside and is just affecting that spirit. I know it's hard. But God expects us, as we come together, and even individually, definitely, as we gather together, that we are to give Him a sacrifice of praise. He didn't say, Joe, if you feel good, praise me. He just said, Joe, praise me. Yes, sir. There's no democracy in the Christian life. Lord, well, I think you should do this. He could care less what we think. What He cares about is our souls and our obedience towards Him. Because you see, as we gather together on Sundays or Wednesdays, whatever, and we lift our hands or whatever, you know, because it says to lift up holy hands unto our God. As we lift up holy hands, as we worship Him, we're singing the songs, we're praising Him, we're honoring Him. It says the Spirit of God comes into a place that does that. But also it does something more than that in us. It turns our attention away from the storms of life. And it puts our eyes back focused on Him. And that's what He wants. That's what He desires. That's what He wants from us. So you see, what the devil tries to do is keep our attention on the storms and the problems of life. That's why some people aren't here today. I know that. Because their eyes are on the storms and on things that aren't productive. But what God says, they're still there, but turn your eyes towards me. The problem's still there. This is us. Our eyes are on God. We praise Him. We honor Him. He takes care of the problem. Because honestly, you can't solve any problem. Anytime I try to solve a problem, it gets bigger. Well, we think, ooh, it's done. Then we find out the enemy's still there. It's cropping up. And it seems like it's bigger than before, huh? But you see, we have, as I preached weeks ago, we got to take care of ourselves and keep our eyes upon Him. Praise Him, people. Praise Him. Praise Him. I don't want the rocks to cry out. You might say, well, will that happen? God will get the praise that is due no matter what. He will make the rocks cry out if His people won't cry out to Him. As you walk into this place, put on the attitude, Lord, I'm leaving things behind. All the things of the world. Whatever it is. And it's not going to be easy. Because I know, as you're standing there trying to worship, you're thinking about the things. But you see, we have to train ourselves that God says, worship me. Worship me. And Lord, okay, I'm ready to come and worship you. We gather together, and as the music starts, to lift our hands before Him and say, Father, you're the King of Kings. No one else deserves praise but you, Lord. I will worship you. I will praise you. I will honor you with all of my heart. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The Father saying, we need to praise Him. We need to praise Him and worship Him. Give it unto Him like He deserves. Amen. You may stand, please. Add some other stuff, but that's good. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you for who you are, Lord. For you are my God, my Lord, my Savior. And Lord God, I thank you for the mighty works that you're doing. But Lord God, I thank you that you are a faithful God. I thank you that you are a true God. That you are a God that takes care of your people. And Lord God, I pray this week that you'd help us to praise you and to keep our eyes upon you and you alone like never before, Father. And Lord God, you're going to speak things to our minds and our hearts, Lord God. And we're going to be strengthened by your Spirit, Lord God. That, Lord God, we're not going to be hindered by the things of the world. But, Father, we're going to do what you've called us to do, Lord God. Father, I pray for a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon your people this day. Lord, work in them. Be with them and help them this day, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for your people, for the mighty work that you are doing in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you.